This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast, we are going to do a Five Reasons I Hate You at 825 for the New York Mets. Normally a football staple, but I think if you listen to this show, you know that it's easy enough to conjure up hate really any day of the year, sports-wise. And the Mets, I would say, pretty good target for the first week of the season. There's some good stuff that's rolling in on the text page. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I just remembered one, a reason to hate the Mets that was a staple of the triple threat back in the day that I'm not going to tease it. It's some amazing audio. I'm not even going to share it with you, Seth. It's a Mets-related bit of audio. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It made Ted Johnson very uncomfortable back in the day.
Oh, all right. Yeah. It's not Mr. Met, is it?
It's not Mr. Met. Okay, well, we can add that to the list for sure.
I want to hit him right in that gigantic growth hormone-sized head of his.
Head, yes. I got
it. It's one of the unfortunate bygones of the human growth hormone era of Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Mr. Met's gigantic head.
Yeah, the heads are normal-sized again. It's a little disappointing. Let's do this. We did this yesterday. People had a lot of fun playing along in their cars. It's draft season. 4 weeks from today. Day one of the draft. And we've got you covered here on Sports Radio 610. All weekend long on the draft. Should be a whole lot of fun. But this is Pope Zaza's fabulous Scout Anon quiz game we're about to play here, where you have anonymous quotes from scouts, actual quotes about current or former Texan draft picks, players.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yesterday, I think the toughest one today is going to be a linebacker. Maybe I'll save that for last.
Do that last. Yeah, let's do like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and start off with the $100 question, you know?
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, quarterback.
Okay.
We'll go all the way back to 2002 for this one.
Okay.
So, quarterback.
Okay. All right.
He's number one just because he's a better leader. Like the kid a lot. His character is really, really good. His mechanics are below average. I got to cut out some of the stats here. He's played the best in the biggest stages.
Ooh.
His best thing is his leadership.
It's got to be David Carr. I'm going to go with David Carr on that one.
Buzzer.
What?
It's Deshaun Watson.
Oh, when you said you were going back to 2002, I was.
I was just saying the range of candidates.
Okay.
I wouldn't have told you it's a quarterback drafted in 2002.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were starting off super easy.
All right.
Go back to 2002. I thought that was okay. So it's Deshaun. Now I will say this, up to and including the mechanics thing, it did sound like you were describing David. I thought this sounds like what they were saying about David Carr, like the leaders. He won a lot of big games at Fresno State. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated,
but not terribly accurate. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so the character is really, really good.
Yeah.
Remember,
yeah.
Mechanics below average, yes. The other negatives about him is he threw 17 interceptions this year, which is terrible for a first-round quarterback, and a lot of them were really bad decisions. I think that Deshaun cleaned that up
definitely
in his time while he was here. He made some bad decisions early, but he had that one. Deshaun, he kind of did a good job of a problem would present itself,
yep,
and then he would figure it out and fix it. And for a while there, it was corner defensive back blitzes, and then he flipped it and fixed it. So, to his credit,
there was never a point with Deshaun Watson where I felt he was overly careless with the football. Made mistakes, but I don't think turnovers were a major issue. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Some of it was like a byproduct of playing at Clemson. He said a lot of them were really bad decisions, just throwing the ball up for grabs.
Yeah, they let him do his thing there. Yeah, okay. So,
all right.
I'm 0-1.
So I'll say you're 0-1. I feel bad about that one.
Okay.
Maybe for anybody playing along, driving in your car, I apologize for throwing the 2002 in there.
Yeah,
we'll have another quarterback later.
Okay.
In a window of time that goes all the way back to 2002.
Okay, yeah.
All right, this is an anonymous scout on a Texans draft pick who is an interior offensive lineman.
Okay,
I'll give you that.
Okay.
Smart, just not a killer. He's a cover-up interior offensive lineman. I never saw him as a guy who could move people around. He tested okay. That 40 time is horrible. I can see him being a backup for somebody.
Okay. Now, if anonymous scouts are talking about him, it's probably not somebody like a day 3 pick.
That's a good point there.
Interior offensive lineman. I'm going to say, is that Xavier Suafilo?
That was Juice Scruggs.
Juice Scruggs, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One of the other reports was pretty good athlete, a little bit sawed off, but he's thick, strong, and tough as nails. Great kid. His intelligence is good, not great.
Yep.
He's not ideal center intelligent, but he'll work his ass off to get it. That coincides with what we saw with Jarrett Patterson versus Juice Scruggs.
Definitely.
It seemed like Jarrett Patterson just handled making the calls in the mental side of the game a lot better. I still think Juice Scruggs has potential as a center. I don't think he's a guard at all. I think he's got potential as a center, but it's got to be that, okay, in his third year, he's
got to win the
really
job,
starting
man.
To click for him. Yeah.
Second-round pick. You got to win. Second-round pick, and I know I think people, there's a lot of people don't like when I keep the labels of what round they were picked on them once they're in the league already, but just in terms of, you know, you second-round pick is a premium pick. You got to go win that job, man.
Okay.
All right, let's go.
This next one, tight end, draft pick of the Texans.
Okay.
And there was only one anonymous quote by him.
Okay.
I think there were a couple, but they were all pretty good. All ball, no BS type of guy. If I had to pick one to ride or die with, that'd be the guy.
Wow. A tight end. Man.
If I had to pick one to ride or die with, that'd be the guy.
And this is somebody drafted by the Texans. This isn't somebody that was brought into the Texans.
No, this is a Texans draft pick,
I would ride or die with this tight end. Oh, boy. Well, Owen Daniels
You want me to read you the names of the various tight ends the Texans have drafted?
Throw like five in the pool. This might work better if I have multiple choices here.
Tegan Quatoriano.
Okay.
Brevin Jordan.
Okay.
We've got Collie Waring.
Yeah.
Jordan Akins.
Yeah. Jordan Akins.
Yeah.
Ryan Griffin back in the day. Yeah.
CJ Fedorowicz.
Fedorowicz
kind of sounds like the name of a guy you'd want to ride or die with.
That
would
be
like one of these Eastern European basketball players. Yeah.
My first one that popped when you said tight end, the first one that popped into my head, before you even read the quote, I'm like, this is something positive about Kahale Waring that we're going to have a good chuckle about afterwards. But I don't think that's the case because I don't think they would describe Kahale Waring as a ride-or-die kind of guy. I'm going to go with C.J. Fedorowicz. I'm going to go with Fedorowicz on this one.
It was Buzzer.
Buzzer, okay.
Cade Stover.
Oh, why am I so blind on the recent draft picks?
Because I've planted that seed in your brain.
The 2002 thing is messing with me, man. Like, I'm going
I'll be honest with you. These are all in the last 10 years. Okay,
well, why did you say 2002? I was not good at this yesterday, and you're throwing me off the scent even more.
I thought you would have known, too, though, that these quotes only come out from the higher profile guys.
Well,
and
Bob McGinn been doing it? Has he been doing this for 20 years?
Probably not, yeah. So,
and why did you even say that about 2002?
I'm sorry. So these are all from the last several years. Okay.
Someone just texted, 2002, I could be guessing Benny Jopru.
Yeah, that's the point. The Ryder, I thought the Ryder die might get you because CJ, I could totally see CJ Stroud saying about Cade Stover, he's a Ryder die
guy.
You know?
Totally. All right, let's do another one here. This is fun. Okay. We're still having fun.
Texans interior offensive lineman.
Okay.
He's light on his feet and really strong. Okay. He pushes people around in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
He's a better athlete than you want to give him credit for.
Yep.
Because he's one of those gritty, grimy guys. Mm. At first you're thinking, all right, is this just a strong, tough guy? But he played left tackle in a big conference, and he did pretty well.
Kenyon Green.
Yep, there
Kenyon
you go.
Kenyon Green. Yeah. I had
was
that
it the
one,
left tackle
no,
part?
No, I had that even before left tackle. That sounded like a familiar scouting report about him.
Yeah.
Ended up being somewhat inaccurate.
The part about the run game is true. I think he showed a lot of promise in the run game. As a pass protector, he was just way too hit or miss. I guess if I had taken it back, I bet Xavier Suafolo had maybe a similar scouting report.
Yeah.
I thought you might have guessed Xavier Suafolo.
I already guessed him earlier, so I wanted to kind of vary it
around
a little bit.
One quote about him, one of the positive ones.
This
is interesting because this compares Kenyon Green to a guy that just got a $20 million per year contract with the Titans. Dan Moore started for the Steelers as a rookie from out of Texas A&M, and he's better than Kenyon Green. Or Kenyon Green's better than Dan Moore.
Wow. Dude, who got 82? Who got $82 million a week ago?
Yeah, good job, Scout.
Dan Moore, yeah.
All right, good job with that on Kenyon Green. All right, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
This is a tight end. Texans draft pick who's a tight end.
Okay.
He can be that move-around guy. He'd never have to leave the field. He tries to as a blocker. He works at it. He's very intriguing. There's an incredible upside on his long-term playing career. He's just starting to grow into the position.
If this were Family Feud, I would have slapped the dinger like eight words into your description. That's Brevin Jordan.
Yep, that's Brevin Jordan.
That is Brevin Jordan right there, for sure.
And it really, honestly, a lot of these scouting reports, the anonymous scouts, I thought were pretty accurate with Brevin Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
That he's a willing blocker, but he's a smaller guy.
Yep.
Let's see.
What got me for Brevin Jordan was he could be a move guy, I think is what you said. That's Brevin Jordan.
Well, and this is the one, he ran okay. He's not running away from the Fred Warners, the Darius Leonards.
Yep.
Good little college player. I think you've just got to manufacture that guy getting open.
Did that guy
what we've seen out of Brevin Jordan is like finding creative ways to get him open, and then with the run after the catch and everything else, he's nifty.
Did that scout say good little college player?
He did, yeah.
That is the most patronizing thing ever, man. That is,
but
like,
it's true. It was. I mean, it
good
was a
little college player.
A lot of the stuff he did in college, I thought that those scouting reports were accurate because I think the biggest misconception people have about Brevin Jordan is that he's a big guy because he's muscular. When you see him in person, he's a small tight end. So a lot of the stuff he was doing, the kind of bulldozing college kids, you saw that, all right, this isn't going to quite translate to the NFL.
Yeah, I guess. All right, give me one more. Let's do one more here. What do you got?
All right. Okay, this is going to be a tough one.
Okay.
This is a linebacker.
Linebacker. Drafted by the Texans.
Unique body type for the position. Makes a lot of plays, gets around the ball, can run. The question is, how much does he love football and being around it?
Ooh.
He's plenty tough, but his body just doesn't lend itself to being very, very strong. Little bit flimsy, a third scout said. Doesn't have a great base.
Wow.
I'm not in with him.
Wow.
There's no strength or knockback power when he tackles.
Okay. I probably should have the Texans draft board, like who they drafted in front. That would probably be a fair thing for me to have in front of me for this.
This last one, maybe I'll give you that hint. There's no strength or knockback power when he tackles. Go back to various things that I would rant about, if you can remember.
Oh, okay. There's no strength.
Guy that had a lot of tackles, but like the guy had an obsession with not himself going to the ground when he tackled.
Zach Cunningham.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Good job.
All right.
That was one of my, that when I saw that part of the scouting report, I was like, oh my God, yes. Remember Zach Cunningham? Would just, he
would tackle,
he did not want to go to the ground.
No, it was amazing.
He would like tackle him and pick him up and try to drag him or anything and try to stay on his feet.
Oh my
God. Was the most infuriating thing that I was so frustrated with him.
And they paid him. They gave him a second contract.
That's right, they gave him a second contract.
They gave him a second contract. Oh my God. Someone texted in as you're describing that linebacker that clearly has a very suspect description. Someone texted in, D'Amico Ryans. No.
I wonder if Bob McGinn was doing it. We should do it for D'Amico Ryans and various other coaches out there.
Yeah, and see what they say for sure. That was fun. I think when we play this, as the czar of the game, Pope Zaza, do you think it's fair for me at least to have the Texans, the Pro Football Reference list of who they've drafted in front of
them? Yeah, have the draft history.
I think it makes for a better 100%. Segment. Yeah, I think it makes
for... Yeah, I don't think that's unfair at all.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I always do that. When you have me guess stuff, I usually have like kind of a list of a depth chart or something.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, that was fun. Did you have fun playing that in your car? Text in. The people that texted in yesterday enjoyed playing that little game in the car. Little game down memory lane.
I poisoned the well a little bit with the 2002. I planted that seed in your brain.
That's
that
okay. I don't think it was done nefariously. I just think you were just, just laying it out there, the framework for it. I like to think it wasn't done nefariously. To make me look stupid.
Just for the quarterbacks, because they've only drafted so many quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a lot easier.
It's true.
And all that, and honestly, the quarterback descriptions, they make it pretty easy. I'll give you a Davis Mills really quick.
I didn't even bother.
Maybe I should have led with this. This is the only anonymous report about Davis Mills.
Gigantic neck.
Oh. He's like a one-read robot where he just stares down receivers. Just not a lot of natural feel for the game. His arm's good enough. He can run game. He can run some. He's not a playmaker. He's just kind of a one-read systems type of player.
I would have gotten that run right. And I would have gotten it when you said he can run some.
Yeah.
Because remember, you and I talked about like Davis Mills, 40 time, faster than you'd think.
Skepticism over his 4.6 40 time.
Yep.
That was a COVID 40 time.
Text message, good game, loved it. Definitely enjoyed it. Keep it going. Seth did that on purpose.
I did for the quarterbacks. Yeah. I did. I admit to that. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks for bleeping us, Seth. that was really good, guys. Let's see. There was one. God, the texts are flying in. Oh, someone says, man, I remember Seth losing his mind regularly over Zach Cunningham.
It would drive me so crazy. Oh. It drove me insane.
Oh, my God. That's funny. When you were giving me hints on that one, I'm like, God, I can remember this. And then when you said didn't want to go to the ground, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Old Zacharoo up there grabbing those shoulder pads and trying to throw guys to the ground like he's a bouncer.
It was so odd.
Oh my God. All right. 5 Reasons I Hate You, Mets Edition. We're getting you ready for opening day a variety of ways on this show today. And we're going to do 5 Reasons I Hate You, Mets Edition. If you want to text in, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, and fire some reasons at us, 713-572-4610. We'll do that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, let's do this. 5 Reasons I Hate You, Mets Edition. Football season staple rises up from the ashes in baseball season. You got it? You're going to be able to collect yourself, my friend?
Yeah, I was laughing at... I sent you a commercial of the Icky Shuffle. Icky Woods doing a shuffle in the supermarket.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because a lot of kids that do the Icky Shuffle drill on the agility ladder, they don't realize that it's named after Icky Woods, the 1980s Woods. Running back.
That's
so
right.
We need to educate the youth.
That's it, man.
Go ahead and Google Icky Woods Shuffle.
That's it.
And then watch, yeah.
All right, here we go. 5 Reasons I Hate You, Mets Edition, and I crowdsourced this a little bit. Crowdsourced it, Seth sourced it, Sean sourced it. That's what this list is. Got a lot of people texting in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer with this one. Number 5.
Oh.
The Carlos Beltran signing after the 2004 season. You were actually here in Houston. I wasn't here for that.
Yeah.
That's plunked down in my somewhat Houston blind spot because I was gone from 01 to 07. So I didn't feel the hyper emotion of talking about it every day on the radio. But man, the Astro fans I talked to, you can see the reaction to Beltran for years and years after. Astro fans booed Carlos Beltran up until the day they signed Carlos Beltran in 2016. 17.
Yeah, and then nobody followed my advice that we should just keep booing him because he'd performed pretty well when getting booed. Like Jose Altuve getting performed well when he gets booed in New York.
And as it turned out, we should have booed him because he was the mastermind behind the trash can thing. Like he was.
But I still couldn't do that because he provided a lot of veteran leadership in other regards too, outside of just the trash can banging.
Yeah, that's true.
That was part of those championships. So,
but we hate him. We hate him for.
But we hate him now.
We hate him now. And we hate him for stringing the Astros out back in 2004 and making it feel like they had a chance to keep him.
And specifically because of the Mets dynamic, since the Astros play the Mets. And Beltran, it wasn't that he left in free agency because they traded for him. He didn't have any loyalty. He Kyle Tuckered his way into town.
Yeah, it's true.
And the Astros did what the Cubs hoped to do, is make a run with that guy.
Yeah.
But then he just strung them along to the point where they didn't, you know, they withheld other decisions because of him.
And then
skipped town.
Yep. And then responded by making the World Series next year, you a-holes up there in New York. Take that. All right, number four, Juan Soto is on this team.
Mm.
Juan Soto, richest deal in sports history. I had no idea that he had these extra accoutrements in his contract, Seth.
Luxury suites at home games, other premium seats. His number 22 uniform was part of the contract. He did end up giving the previous 22
Beatty.
Holder.
Yeah, Beatty.
He gave him an SUV.
Yeah.
That kid's going to have to pay taxes on.
Yeah,
thanks
right.
a lot, pal.
And upkeep and everything else.
Yeah, thanks for making it public on social media and everything.
Well, if I know anything, I know that people in New York love to have a car that they can drive around all the time.
Yeah, a huge, gigantic SUV.
They love to drive around New York in their gigantic SUVs.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
So, it's like having a gigantic SUV in Rice Village.
Yeah.
like a freaking dot.
Right. Exactly. But Soto said, quote, "When a player goes to free agency, he's allowed to ask for anything. So I asked, and they gave me everything I wanted. It was a big part of it. Anything I wanted in my contract, opt-outs, season tickets, I got it." Boy, what shrewd negotiators these Mets are, huh?
Yeah.
Here you go. You want that? Sure.
Wow, this offer already blows everybody else out of the water. But do you mind if I tack 10 more things onto this?
Yeah. Hey, Steve Cohen, what's your wife up to, huh? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, number three, Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets.
Right.
Who is completely created... Along with the Dodgers, I would say. The Dodgers have all of a sudden gotten into this Met swimming pool of who cares how much we spend. Luxury tax, what? Don't know what that is. I was told by, it was funny, back when Verlander was thinking of going to the Mets, I had bumped into and had an encounter with some people close to that situation with the Astros.
Yeah.
And it was made very clear that Jim Crane, along with others around baseball, Jim Crane was far from alone in this, viewed it as there is the market and then there's the Mets, and operate on their own.
Yeah.
They're on their own planet when it comes to this stuff.
Well, he's operating like he's a Russian oligarch or something. Like he's trying to broker off his way into glory. And it's annoying because he's just got unlimited funds and who knows how he procured them.
Yeah.
He's in the hedge fund industry, is he not?
Which is
basically the legalized Ponzi scheme industry.
That's right.
And whichever loopholes he's exploited, whichever people's futures he's destroyed to just do whatever it takes to become a mega billionaire, then good on you. Good on you, Stephen Cohen. Let's see how it plays out.
The most legitimate business in the world, in my mind, the logistics business.
Yes.
The logistics business is
a man,
where
Jim
Americana.
Crane.
Yeah.
He takes products and he delivers them to people who need those products delivered, damn it.
On time.
Yes.
On time.
In the tradition of the Pony Express, Transcontinental Railroad, minus some of the exploitation of labor and whatnot. a man that's gotten his hands dirty, he'll roll up his sleeves and earn his money.
That's right.
Instead of bilking people with financial intricacies that nobody can understand.
Well put.
Damn it.
Yep, well put.
Yeah.
I can't put it any better than that. All right, so that's number three. Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets. There's the market and then there's the Mets. I'll never forget that. Number two. All right, this is the audio I somewhat teased. Back in the day, back in about 2015 or 2016, there was a teenager, maybe preteen, about 11 or 12 years old, Mets fan, who I believe lived up in Dallas. And you can tell from his accent, as you're about to hear, Southern accent, but the kid went by Mets Maniac.
Yeah.
And boy, this kid would go insane on the regular on the internet. He had a YouTube channel, and he, boy, you're going to listen. Ben, I apologize for all the heavy labor and bleeping here. It's only 20 seconds of audio. How many bleeps in 20 seconds, Ben? Had to be 7 or 8, right?
Something like that.
It's a crazy number. But this kid would, and this is back when the Mets weren't very good and Terry Collins was their manager. This kid would daily go on Instagram and go on the internet and just go off on the Mets. And we would play it on the Triple Threat, and Ted Johnson would get so uncomfortable with us playing this. I have no idea. It takes a lot to make Ted Johnson uncomfortable about anything.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, Ted Johnson was just really uncomfortable with us playing audio like this on the show.
Fire this man! Terry f***ing Collins! Just want to smash f*** out of you! Give me something, give me something. Choked up with you, Terry! F***ing idiot! Do you not know how to manage a team? This team is so god bad! F***ing Robles, you too! F*** out of New York! Go somewhere else, Robles! Go chew some more tobacco! Go f***ing wander eBay! I don't give a s***!
Okay, that was... I didn't count. That had to be 10 bleeps right there. It was 25 seconds of audio.
What years was this?
Mets Maniac. This is back like in like 2016, 2017 maybe.
His last post was in 2017.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah,
he might be an adult by now, right?
He's probably like a junior in college or something like that.
This guy's got to be out there just with a different social media account somewhere. I'd like to follow up because, I mean, this was this kid presumably not drunk. I need to see drunk and angry Mets Maniac.
Okay.
Maybe he was drunk. Maybe that's why Ted wasn't comfortable with it. He was like, obviously this kid's had half a fifth of whiskey.
You know who actually interacted with him on social media when he saw him? And this is how he wound up on our radar. Lance McCullers. The kid did a shout-out video to Lance McCullers.
Really?
I have to go find that. He's like, shout-out to my boy Lance!
I wonder if Ted was uncomfortable for it because everything that can be bad about social media is like, all right, you've got a kid who's a minor. Like putting the worst possible behavior out there that at some point might come back to bite him in the future.
Ted's kids were about that age at the time too, you know, and so maybe, who knows, but that was, but for whatever reason, Ted was uncomfortable. All right, the last one, and I want to make sure I respect longtime Houstonians with this one, 5 Reasons I Hate You, Mets edition. The 1986 Mets, who I didn't live in Houston at the time, but I can go along with the hate because we know they knocked out the Astros in the NLCS in one of the most memorable league championship series of all time. It was incredible. And then they won the World Series against a team I rooted for at the time, living up in New England, the Boston Red Sox. We all remember this.
5-5 in a delirious 10th inning. Can you believe this ball game at Shea? Little roller up along first, behind the bag, it gets through Buckner, here comes Knight, and the Mets win it!
Now, it'd be one thing if these improbable wins in the LCS and the World Series, you know, the against teams that I root for and our audience roots for, it'd be one thing if it was a likable team.
Yeah.
This was a bunch of drug heads and perverts and Lenny Dykstra. There was nothing likable about this Mets team. Like
Lenny Dykstra gets his own category.
He does, because he's all of them. Yeah. I mean, what that's the last time they won a World Series. We would be going back to 1969 if it weren't for that team. Yeah.
Was Lenny Dykstra's reputation like that while he was a player, or was it all stuff that just happened when he was done and social media kind of blew everything
up? No, his reputation went from, you know, like, 4 to 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 after he retired. Because he got into some shady business stuff.
Right, yeah.
He's just a bad dude. He's a bad dude. I think he was viewed more as a player. I think he was definitely viewed as being super gritty. I mean, his name was Nails, his nickname. He always had the tobacco in his mouth. Like, I think he was... If you didn't know
just
anything...
Just an old-school ball player.
Yeah. He was probably, you know what, Seth? Probably very swarmy, I would imagine, as a baseball player. But we learned
he
later...
He was willing to do anything to benefit himself and his team.
Yeah.
Including using steroids and blackmailing umpires.
That was
the part that came out afterwards.
Yes. Yeah. Not a good guy. All right, so
That's from his autobiography, everybody. That's not just a... It was when he started dishing on stuff and talking about some of the stuff that he would do. That was when the reputation took a downturn.
Yeah, I'm not going to ignore the fact that if Lenny Dykstra does an interview, I will listen to that interview because you don't know what the dude's going to say. He's wild. One from the text page here. I hate that the Mets are so dumb that they gave a contract that makes them pay a guy for 25 years plus interest, and now he's recognized, and now he has a recognized day because of your incompetence. That's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
The day Bobby Bonilla did a contract with the Mets where he got a lot of money up front, but he chose to get paid like a million and change every, it's like July 1st or something like that, every year.
It was deferred compensation, but a good chunk of like really, to the point where it was, remember the Mets owners were going through bankruptcy, and one of the big hang-ups was the fact that they still had to pay him $1 million every year.
Yeah, he was one of their creditors, yeah. All right, that was fun. Five Reasons I Hate You Mets style. All right, March Madness starts back up again tonight. The biggest storylines as data tracked by Twitter. Are we viewing these as the biggest storylines for March Madness? Is this what's compelling us the most to watch or discuss March Madness this coming weekend? We'll go through this, and we've got some great crusty basketball coach quotes as well. That's all coming up next.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, welcome back. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. March Madness gets kicked back in tonight. Cougs are tomorrow. 9:09 tip-off. I like the Cougs that I know are getting their game face on. And you know how I know that? They're mad that it's at 9:09 on Friday night.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
They feel it's a little disrespectful. I would say
taking one of the one seeds and plopping them down. It's disrespectful.
Well, and the big thing too, Seth, is they're playing Purdue in Indianapolis. That's the part where it feels a little weird that a four seed essentially has a home court advantage over a one seed.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not like a bunch of upsets that got you here. The tournament is playing according to how you seeded it, and you've given Purdue what I think is going to be a Purdue. I think because Purdue people are going to be rooting for Purdue, and then Kentucky and Tennessee are the other two teams that are there, and those fans are going to be rooting for Purdue as well, because you want the one seed to get knocked off.
Yeah. No, it's Indiana, which is a huge basketball state because they're generally too stupid to keep track more than five people at any given time.
There you go.
So, you know, they're very passionate about lower numbered sports.
Yep. The folks at betonline.ag did a study on the storylines that people are talking about most with respect to this tournament. They're using data off of X, you know, tweets that people use certain phrases on to compile. Hey, what's everybody talking about the most with this? They've got their top 10 things here. They had about 100,000 tweets that they culled for this thing. The two biggest ones are kind of tied into each other, and it's no Cinderella is number one. There's really no Cinderella team that's made it to the Sweet 16. It's all Power Four conferences. We've not seen this in a long, long time. And big conference domination is number two. I feel like those two are almost the same thing. No Cinderellas, big conference domination.
That's where the Cinderella stuff, that's honestly where one of the more poignant things that is probably related to NIL to a certain degree, because some of these smaller schools where, hey, at least they've been playing together, they've got a good coach, they're scrappy, this, that, and the other thing. Those teams are having some of their best players plucked by NIL and the transfer portal being so fluid that it's just harder to keep a band of like scrappy underdogs together, even if they're not big name guys.
That would be, the evidence, if you're using this tournament as evidence, it supports that. I think it's what's really interesting is that I feel like NIL and the transfer portal have made for a much more even 12-team football structure and a much less even 64-team basketball structure.
Because one player makes such a big difference in basketball.
Yeah.
The other, and when it comes to the tournament, I'd say probably schools like the Ivy League schools, those, because you know the Ivy League doesn't have NIL at all. But those guys will transfer to schools. I've seen it in football. Guys will transfer out and, you know, some of the best players end up elsewhere. No matter what type of smaller school it is, as long as the current state of affairs remains in college basketball, I'm guessing that we're not going to see nearly as many Cinderella stories.
Now, maybe not. I mean, we'll see. You know, it's one and done. There's a lot of randomness, but maybe not. Now, here's the thing. There's people out there that are thinking, like, this is going to kill the tournament if there's no Cinderellas. Here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take earlier this week saying this could be the death of the college basketball tournament.
If there was no NIL, if there was no trade portal, Shay, right? And you have zero, the mid-majors go 0-6 in the second round. Please, we ain't sweating that. But when you're able to point to rules that have been implemented that ultimately shows itself to have inflicted upon the game itself, that's dangerous. Because what you don't want is a situation where nobody has a chance because those players from the mid-majors, like y'all said, you know what, we're going to get some money from Kentucky. We're going to get some money from UConn. We're going to get some money from some other program that we can't get them in. You don't want that to be the reason you have these kind of results in the NCAA tournament. If people continue to get to point to that, then college basketball as we knew it, which to me is all about March Madness, will cease to exist.
Okay, cease to exist is a little. That might wind up in tomorrow's show on Take-A-Mania. Cease to exist. Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
This is where I'll say to Stephen A. Smith, and I'm guessing he didn't have these numbers. This was the most watched first weekend of the NCAA tournament since 1993. They averaged nearly 10 million viewers throughout the second round of the tournament. And I think, too, Seth, there's an effect. Yeah, we love Cinderellas. Until we get to this weekend and we want to start to see the good teams all playing each other.
People are so full of crap. It's always, it's one of those things that when people answer surveys, generally a lot of times they're lying to themselves as they answer the surveys. They're answering the version of themselves that they'd like to be.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, I care about the things that really matter in life. Yeah, the Cinderella stories are nice, but people aren't changing their dinner plans or what have you because of the Cinderella show, unless it's a really awesome one. But by and large, that's not what really drives business.
Well, they're nice until Kentucky beats them by 25 in the Sweet 16. You know, like,
yeah.
And so I am very anxious to see what the viewership numbers are for this coming weekend with no Cinderellas around, because if they're good, that completely torpedoes the argument of Stephen A. Smith and others that, well, without the Cinderellas, this thing just isn't what it normally is. The other most discussed topics, Amir Khan, the McNeese manager, who we've spent plenty of time on, the viral sensation that he was. Cooper Flagg is the best player in the tournament. He's the number four topic. Number five topic is the NIL effect, which I think you can combine with the transfer portal. I think those two things are inextricably linked, the NIL and the transfer portal. You want some crusty college basketball coach audio,
Seth? I've been missing it in my life. I was wondering what was missing this week, why I felt so empty. And it's because I haven't had a crusty college basketball coach ranting on our airwaves.
Nobody crustier than Tom Izzo ranting about the lack of logic in the transfer portal opening this week during the NCAA tournament.
And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people. You could say it's fair to your program. I'll run my program like I want to run my program. And people have a disagreement with that, God bless them. But these guys that gave me everything they could give me are going to have a chance. And I'm not going to screw it up by spending any time on other stuff other than, I don't eat, I don't sleep right now. So why in the hell would I do something else that might benefit me a year from now? And really, it's not going to benefit me now because I don't know what I have. I don't know how much money I have. I don't know which players are leaving or staying. I don't have any idea. So why would I do that? Waste of time.
All right. So obviously he was being asked, do you focus on the portal with it opening this week? He's still in the tournament. He's a two seed that's still playing right now.
Did you run the clock on how long he spoke after he said he wasn't going to speak about it?
How long was that? At least a minute, right?
58 seconds.
So about 56 seconds.
So he said, I'm not going to speak about it, and then spent about the better part of a minute talking about it. Yeah.
That's
the old Jim Rome trick, where Jim Rome will be like, there's a topic that, frankly, it's not even worth discussing on our airwaves, and I'm going to tell you for the next 10 minutes why I won't be talking about this topic.
I'm not going to read faxes like these on the air right now.
Brilliant. It's brilliant.
It is. I'll back up Izzo on this. The transfer portal opening the week of the Sweet 16 is a little strange in college basketball. Yeah. That's tough. Pitino versus Calipari is the next one down. That's number six on the top most hotly discussed topics. Here was John Calipari after the Arkansas win over two seed St. John's over the weekend.
They missed a lot of shots. I mean, they made more shots than probably beat us. But these kids, I'm so proud of them, how they play and fight and persevered. They threw us in the coffin. They just forgot the nails that pushed it open and we come out.
I like that. Like the Undertaker. They threw us in the coffin. They forgot the nails.
It's like the movie villain who tells his minions to just go ahead and execute somebody, like Dr. Evil, and just, I'm going to assume that it all went according to plan and mm-hmm. not think about it again. Yeah.
Yep. Calipari versus Pitino was the sixth most discussed topic, which I put a poll up on this, Seth, because the more I look at these brackets, the more intrigued I am about the coaches than I am the players.
Yeah.
I'm like, I wonder if I'm the norm in this. And so I asked my Twitter following coming into the NCAA tournament. You haven't watched any of the games yet. Before watching any first round games, which could you name more of, head coaches in the tournament or players in the tournament? And you think about that, like just on sheer numbers, the number should be players, right? There's 1,000 players in the tournament. There's 64 head coaches. What percentage of people said they could name more head coaches coming into the tournament than players in the tournament?
That's a tough one. I'm going to handicap it by remembering that a lot of the Cougs fans could tell you, multiple, both just read off the depth chart.
But they could probably also name 12 coaches, too.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. They could still name, even if you know everybody on the depth chart. I'm going to say 80%.
84.7% give the man his ding, Ben, if you could. Give the man his propers within 5%. 84.7%, which is I don't know if it's good or bad. I think it just is. This is the sport now with one and duns and everything else, and nobody pays attention by and large to the regular season compared to the tournament. You look at every other sport with the regular season compared to whatever its postseason is. NFL, way more players than coaches named. MLB, I don't know if the average person names 10 managers. They can name.
You know what college basketball's got to start doing?
What's that?
They got to start recruiting European players to come over and be like 15-year-old freshmen on their schools. Because, those Euros are over there playing pro sports from a very young age. So just have them come over,
get them
a nice NIL deal,
yeah.
And then you can have a few years with your Bojan Stojkovic or whoever it is,
yeah.
And you have some name brand recognition in the college program.
They'd just get drafted at age 16 into the NBA.
Yeah.
They'd stay for 1 year. All right, so that's what people are talking about, man, for the tournament. Just to round out the top 10, Arkansas's run, number 7. Replay reviews, number 8. That's people complaining about how long they take. The Danny Hurley attitude, number 9. Warren Buffett bracket winner, number 10. I have no idea about Warren Buffett's bracket, but if it's his bracket, he's probably giving away a lot of money.
He gives away a boatload of money to somebody that has a perfect bracket because it's impossible to get the perfect bracket. Yeah. Damn near impossible to get the perfect bracket.
Yep. All right, Payne and Pendergast, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Astros opening day today, 3:10 first pitch. Don't worry about the rain outside. Roof closed. It'll be fun. Good day to be inside watching baseball. Good article about Dana Brown from Chandler Rome that has me feeling really good about the direction of the Astros' decision-making. There's some really good stuff in here. We will get to that coming up next.